Now, if you use Gmail, you got a message this week about new privacy policies. These policies are upsetting many users, and to get a handle on it, we're going to turn to Steve Henn with NPR. And I want to start with, Steve, we can start with you if you just want to run down what this new privacy policy is for Google products, Gmail, Google Plus, and all of the various products they offer.
Yeah, well, Google had, and still has, something like 70 different privacy policies for different products. So YouTube has its own privacy policy, Gmail has its own, and most importantly, their search function had its own. So Google executives are saying what they're trying to do is simplify their privacy policies. Many of them were overlapping and similar in any case. Make it easier for consumers to understand how their information is being used, and they're combining most of those privacy policies into one. But the big change here is that in some key cases, they are going to start sharing information internally within Google between different services. So if you're a registered user, if you have a Gmail account or you have logged into a Google Plus account, and you go to the search page and search, they'll know that it's you searching. And your searches, what you're searching for, what you click on, will then be used to inform services, other services Google offers, and other ads that you see in those services. So that's basically what's going on in a nutshell.
Ads are the main feature here, right? This is really probably for most users going to be noticed with the ads, or is that accurate?
Not necessarily. Google says that by allowing the company's different divisions and services to share information uniformly, they'll be able to offer a number of new types of services. So, for example, say if you go to Google search and search for an address and then click on a map and get directions, and then you have an Android phone and you pick up your phone and you're in the car, they'd like to be able to ensure that those directions are right there on your phone as you're driving down the street so you don't get lost. So there are real opportunities here for them to leverage the kind of information they collect to offer new, more convenient things. Another example might be that they see on Google Calendar that you have an appointment, in my case, say, in San Francisco, 45 minutes away, and they notice that there's a traffic jam because they're monitoring traffic on Google Maps constantly. They might tell me I should leave earlier or take a different route without me having to go and search out that information. They could push it to me. So those are some of the types of services that they're contemplating. With existing privacy policies, that was difficult for them to do. Now, all of that stuff is nice, but Google is a business, and Google is in the business of selling ads. So, the motivating factor here, I think, you were right. It is to better sell ads, to sell more targeted ads, and to sell ads that that really know who we are, what we're doing, where we are, and ideally what we want at that moment. Those are really valuable ads for advertisers, and Google's in a pitched battle in that space right now.
And what's been the reaction to this from Google users?
Well, it's hard to say because there are literally billions of them. Within sort of the privacy advocacy community, the reaction has been pretty negative and pretty intense. Privacy policy in the United States is basically based on a series of contracts. In very few cases are there overarching laws that tell companies what they can and cannot do with your information. So instead, we have this system of privacy policies where, you go to a site, whether it's Google or Apple or Amazon, and you click on the terms of service. You probably don't read it, but you accept it. But what you're really doing is entering into a contract with that company, and that contract governs how they can use your personal information going forward. What Google's doing is taking millions of users and saying, we're going to change the terms. And we're going to change the terms not only for the information that we're going to collect about you going forward, but the information we collected about you in the past, when you agreed to this contract, when the terms were different. And those types of changes have gotten companies in trouble with government regulators in the past. It's a tricky area to walk into. Now Google execs tell me that they have shared their plans with regulators, not only in the United States, but around the world. And while regulators are unlikely to give them a clear thumbs up or thumbs down, that they feel confident that these changes will pass legal muster. Nonetheless, I think that they probably expect and should expect a really close, hard look, both from people within government and from sort of the advocacy community outside government.
And you mentioned these agreements. You know, people click through them. I'm guilty as well of, you know, when I'm registering new software or something like that, agree to the terms of service very quickly. Do a lot of people even tend to notice this? It seems like this policy and certainly some of Facebook's privacy issues have raised a lot of concern, and there's been a lot of talk around them. But for the average user, is it really something that there's any indication that they're thinking about or are concerned about?
You know, that's a really interesting question. Every few months, one of these big companies will get in a situation where it does something that really sort of provokes the ire of the public. But you look at sort of engagement with the services they offer, and there really haven't been that many examples of a privacy issue killing a business or really visibly injuring a business, at least that I'm aware of. So, you know, I think there are dangers here commercially for Google. If it starts using this information in a way that you know, to quote Ryan Kahlo, the director of privacy at Stanford Center for Internet and Society, if they use it in a way that creeps people out, then they're going to run into problems. You know, if you pick up your Android phone and you're surprised and kind of freaked out by what your phone knows about you or the ads you're seeing on it, that's going to hurt their business. Of course, the reaction from Google would be to try to stop that because they're a data-driven company. If they see ads are driving customers away, they're going to respond to that, I think, fairly quickly. So far, at least, I think the answer has been, you know, no, that this really hasn't had commercial implications for many of these companies.
And is there a way to opt out of these Google policies?
Well, you know, what Google's doing is it's sort of building sort of profiles about individual users. It wants to establish users' identity, and there are reasons that it wants to do that that go back to how search works. So there are ways you can continue to search or continue to use Google services without necessarily having what you do on those services attached to your identity. The simplest is to log out. That doesn't completely take care of the problem. You can use a browser in incognito or anonymous mode, you can delete cookies. You know, all of these things are difficult, and they all sort of impose a real sort of burden on users to protect their own privacy. I think for most people who are Gmail users or Google Plus users or YouTube addicts, who have accounts on these services, they are going to just be tracked more completely as a default.
And do you think that this concern over these policies will lead to a change, or in a couple months do you think we may just have forgotten all about it and people will just be used to getting some more information or possibly more relevant or for some people more creepy results when they search?
I mean, that's a tough question. You know, predicting the future is always dangerous. But I think that Google will probably introduce a lot of services that a lot of people really like coming out of this. And I think that if they are forced to make changes, my bet would be it's not going to be because of a negative commercial reaction, but because regulators and privacy advocates look at the law, look at what they have done, and force them through sort of administrative reviews, either here or in Europe or elsewhere, to make those changes. But I don't think we're going to see changes come out of sort of a backlash from the public.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve Henn with NPR. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Sure thing. My pleasure.